that's what killed him?
Uh-huh.
Suffocated on his tongue piercing.
While he was sleeping.
It's only sexy if you suffocate on somebody else's tongue piercing. While he was sleeping. That's an embarrassing way to die. Why? You gotta quit reading that. It's bad for your soul.
I know it is. I know.
This whole
you
show.
Have told this me about it.
Whole show is bad for your soul today. All right. Let's try to make a pact not to talk about anybody dead this hour. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. When Halloween runs around, we just rerun the same show. It's 503-733-2970.
We're on 666.
Completely. That's totally when we should have done this. I had no... It's all your fault, Tim Riley.
How did I become involved?
I have no... You know, here's why. Here's how this happened. And then I swear to God, we're going to pull out of this. And we're not going to talk about it anymore. Here's... I've been reconstructing. One might even say... I've been doing a post-mortem on the last hour. Here's really what happened. Is that we were here. We were... I don't even remember what we were going to do. What was I supposed to be doing last hour? Something funny and jolly, I'm sure. Something happy that fills
cooking
you with...
Cooking or...
We're going to do a geek quiz.
Something that fills you with mirth and merriment.
We were going to laugh
fighting
a lot.
Stubborn stains.
We were going to laugh and smile. We were going and dance, dance, dance. None of those things happened. We talked about a dead girl for like 45 minutes, and then we talked about other dead people for the other 15. And then I discussed how I'm going to die someday, and they're going to put my name on the copyright form, and Aaron wants to be served as cutlets at his own funeral.
Yeah.
It's all very disturbing. All right. And then we talked about some guy in the audience who has an eye bolt mounted in the ceiling of his bedroom because he and his wife like to have sex with Albanian midgets and, you know, while a clown films it. It all went very, very, very wrong.
I saw a clown jump on the max today, and everyone went into the next car.
Okay. I don't even want to know when.
It happened at Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Okay. Tell me how the clown jumped on the max.
He just jumped right on. He started waving, saying, hello. And everyone started running the other way into the next car.
Was it that guy Extremo?
It was the guy with the horns poking out of his head. A clown with horns poking out of his head. I don't know what his name is. I didn't ask him. But I was already at the back of the car. I didn't have to run anywhere. Everyone piled into my side of the car.
Like they were piling into a Volkswagen. Sort of a reverse clown car thing. Like we ought to see how many clowns we can put in the max.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'm sorry. What am I doing, Sarah?
Pick up line two.
Why?
Because.
It's some dead person.
Right, this is going to be like that Twilight Zone, isn't it? Billy, go to the swimming pool. Jump in.
Oh, my.
Oh, I've done the thing again. Hold on. I hope I didn't dump them. Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, this is schoolgirl Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Please, God, tell me that you're not going to talk about, like, a corpse or bleeding or dying. What's up?
I'm actually searching my son's room right now.
Are you on the phone? How old is your son?
16.
He's sick. See, this is the thing. Teenager gonna. This is all gonna end badly. This is gonna end.
Nope. He is you. He is you. He wears the AC/DC t-shirts. He plays Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm not advocating.
He's a huge geek.
I'm not advocating that you do this. By the way, I was not encouraging parents to do this. I was operating under the. I was operating.
Only allows it.
I'm just saying I was operating under the assumption that it probably had already happened if you were a parent. All right, so
my son lets me go through his little MySpace. He lets me read his email.
All right.
He lets me
what
he's doing.
Who wants to handle this one? Why does he do that, Sarah?
Because it's his fake one.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Because he's got another one somewhere else. Because you is he there?
No, okay. But he's probably listening to you. He's a huge fan.
Well, good times.
Yeah, well, he's busted. He has a fake MySpace account, and he probably has three email addresses you don't know
about. That's totally the thing. It's like, and his real address is like Ramrod69. And
he's
the one
not
he's
brilliant. He leaves this stuff sort of around like it's nothing. Like
those are decoys.
That's what he wants you to think.
He wants you to think that you know what he's up to, and really you have no idea. He's really got a whole other alternate identity where his name is like Hector.
You should
Hector.
Check his friends on MySpace because I bet he might be friends with his real profile.
That's Sarah who said that, kid. That wasn't me.
Sorry, dude.
When did we become grown-ups and the man and so forth?
When 14-year-old kids are like...
saying that
getting
they were 19.
Wasted. Yeah. And 19.
All right. Have you ever found anything in his room in the past?
Nothing. Nothing that I didn't already know about.
So, what does that mean? Oh, wait. Let me guess. Porn. You found porn.
Yeah.
What kind of porn? Was this the magazine kind?
Well, my older son, who's 21, he actually told me he gave my younger son all his old stuff that he didn't want anymore.
What kind of families? Look, and I'm not passing judgment. I'm really not. I'm just saying your family is a little different than mine. I can't imagine telling my mom that I even had pornography, much alone having a discussion with her about how I passed it to my younger brother as like some ritual or some rite of passage or something.
Well, I think you know me. You remember me.
Yeah, I do. I'm just saying that it's like those families where the mom and dad get together and they drink with the kids at dinner sometimes, like when the kids are adults. In no world can I imagine drinking with my parents, using profanity with my parents, letting my mom know I even had a penis. So.
And that's the way I was raised, too. You know, my mom gave me my first drink. She told me about sex.
All right. Well, if you find anything, you just let me know about it, though. We got to know.
Yes, but, you know, you still owe me an apology.
Because why?
He's sorry.
You promised me an apology because you were dogging on older women.
Now, you know,
I'm an older woman, and...
Now, you know, somebody claims that, and I don't recall. That sounds very unlike me. It seems very unlike Rick Emerson, the Rick Emerson I know, to have dogged on older women. The Rick Emerson show has mad... We have much love for older women. It seems very unlike me to have said something like that.
Older woman.
She claims that I was dogging on older women, which I don't. You know that we have mad love for the MILFs.
Oh no! What did he say?
Yeah, it was the older woman doing the striptease for her husband.
Oh well, that's because it was that woman where she.
Oh, it was the white trash woman with Dancing with the Gun.
To Shania Twain.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It wasn't
and
that she was older.
Shot him.
It was that she was older with a paunch dancing to Shania Twain while holding a loaded rifle. That really had nothing. The age is the least awkward thing about that story, sister. All right. I got to run. Thank you. Let me know if you find, like, a crack or a gun or something in his room.
Nothing good.
All right.
Sorry.
There you go. Thank you. Bye. All right. There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello. This is Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mike. Yes, I can hear. Is it raining? How are you?
Good, good.
What's up?
Hey, I thought maybe I'd give you a topic to change the subject with. Today is...
Listen to that. Listen to people just jumping on. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Today is... No, I got
Rick?
Nothing. I have nothing.
Rick?
Yes.
Oh, this is you.
Oh, you want to talk to Rick? Yes,
no,
how can I help you, sir?
What? Okay. Hey, today is the 14th anniversary for the L.A. riots.
Thanks for the pick-me-up. I appreciate that.
We all have forgotten.
So instead of...
Nobody cares about that.
So I'll just I'll drag out my Reginald Denny jokes.
I was going to say, I'm a trucker, so I'm really scared.
Dude.
I bricks and kids, and I get scared.
Today's show is just nothing but things to be scared of. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's all take a moment, shall we?
To do what?
We're just going to take a second here. And we're just going to...
And we know the night is always going to be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little at
when this song came out, there was no MySpace. People played Pong and had 13 channels to choose from on cable.
I'm telling you, man, I just got to find a little fiddle sample. Just a little fiddle music. It's going to be a lot of When I Was a Boy. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do this. See, can you feel it hosing away the ick?
Sure.
Well, that's for us. It's because we're not still looking at my death space to see the interesting causes of asphyxiation that drug dealers in Southern California had foisted on me. Let's go to the city desk, and then here's what's going to happen. In the following order, we're going to do these things.
Byron's here, too.
All right. We'll go to the city desk. We'll break. We'll bring on Byron Beck from the Willamette Week. We'll talk about Candidates Gone Wild. We'll do the geek quiz. We'll just have him participate in the geek quiz. And then we'll go home and we'll try to hose away the last remaining elements of morbidity that cling to us like so many leeches after this show. Ladies and gentlemen, at the city desk, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, now she's the most famous pregnant woman in the world, according to this story. Angelina Jolie is speaking about her... Oh, she's speaking from her African hideaway about boosting education to poor children.
Living in a tree.
Mm-hmm. The basic primary education can completely change the lives of people around the world.
Has she picked up a fake accent?
That's probably, if anything, if we could just get that message out today.
No, she's smoking African cigarettes.
Where is Angelina Jolie from?
Namibia. Oh, no.
She's from Namibia now.
Like New Jersey.
Didn't Namibia sound like that Bill Cosby routine where you're going to the dentist and you can't talk? And so, do you do any fishing? Sounds like Ubba Dubba. All right. She sounds like she's developed some accent, though.
The basic primary education can completely change the lives of people around the world. And I think that's probably, if anything, if we could just get that message out today.
Well, thanks. No one knew about education, but thanks to Angelina Jolie, we're all right, thank you.
Then there's Michelle Rodriguez, star of ABC's Lost. She's heading to jail by choice. The actress was in Hawaii court yesterday facing charges of driving under the influence. She pled guilty and now takes responsibility for her actions.
I take full-on responsibility for being
full-on responsibility
to make a decision whether or not, you know, to act a certain way. But I was frantic.
Okay. Boy, I really wish she was dead. I'm not saying that I hope something bad happens to her, but I'm saying, God forbid, if in a completely natural and non-criminal way, if Jesus decided to call her home. As long as I never have to see her in a film again. Mm-hmm. She's the most irritating. She is, by the way, even more so than the horrible plot twists, even more so than the non-information, even more so than the endless, pointless, tedious flashbacks, even more than the non-development of the storyline, even more than the sense that they're just making crap up as they go along and they don't really know what the show is about. She is the reason that I stopped really watching Lost. It's solely and completely on her stupid bony shoulders.
A 36-year-old Goodyear, Arizona mother of three has been arrested on multiple charges. She claimed to be a 17-year-old girl so she could have sex with teenage boys. Police Commander Ralph McLaughlin said 36-year-old Piggy Ross created a profile on the MySpace pretending to be a teenage girl.
She even had a photo of someone else, and she would engage in conversations via that website. First, the conversations turned to sex and then turned to let's meet somewhere.
Wait, hold on. So this is...
You might as well be a dead MySpacer.
God damn, this world is filled with weird people. All right, so let me understand this.
She's on MySpace.
This is how old is she?
36.
36-year-old mom. She's trying to meet who? Boys?
Yes, teenage
boys. Teenage boys.
So she posed as a 17-year-old girl.
A hot 17-year-old girl? Does anybody know what her picture looked like?
Well, we have something here. Let's see. No, I don't have a picture.
All right, well, presumably a hot. So what was the theory? The theory was that she would get these boys all lathered up, figuratively speaking, all hot and bothered. They would then, see, I can speak more bluntly about this because they're teenage boys and no one cares. She would get them all worked up. They would show up to bonk what they thought was a hot girl. And then I guess the theory was that they would just...
And then they ran home and told their mother.
Oh, wait, so that was... Okay. So I was wondering how she got found out, because I guess the theory was that she would get them all turned on.
Right.
The boys would show up to have sex with what they thought was a hot girl.
Yeah.
They would find the mom, but they'd be like, well, I'm already here. Screw it. Let's go for it. But apparently one of them was revolted enough that they ran wee-wee-wee all the way home. And
a 15-year-old boy.
Oh, okay.
That's how they learned from one of her victims.
A 15-year-old came forward and told us an incident where he met this woman on the internet.
No.
They met, engaged in a sex act, and then went from there.
They engaged, so he managed, so he still hit it.
Yeah.
And then he went home.
After he found out how old she was,
okay.
He was appalled.
All right.
After Oklahoma we go. At least one Oklahoma lawmaker is calling on the governor to veto the Stand Your Ground bill. That's expected to be on his desk. The bill is an extension of a current law that allows Oklahomans to use deadly force to protect themselves when they're in danger in their homes. The new bill would extend that right to public places as well. Representative Michael Shelton of Okie City says if that bill becomes law, it would be, quote, an invitation to shooting in the streets, unquote.
It takes us back hundreds of years. Unfortunately, the Stand Your Ground bill, it is allowing people to take justice into their own hands.
The accent just sort of speaks for itself there.
Good afternoon, Oklahoma.
All right. Should I take these calls before we break?
Sure.
You don't know, do you?
We're pretty positive you should.
I wouldn't have put them on hold if they were bad.
Okay.
We only have good things here.
This is the land of sunshine and light today.
It is.
Dead children. 503-733-2970. Byron Beck from the Willamette coming up here in a few. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. How can I help you?
Oh, I thought of a word. I don't know if it's real or not. We may have invented it. You want it opposite of phallic?
Okay. Is this clean? Can is this?
Yeah, I think so.
Is this from yesterday?
Sarah passed it.
This is a okay. This is a now we are, again we were talking earlier
right,
just to give some background.
No.
I read your lips.
Okay.
So to speak. I zing.
Oh. Hey.
Look. The we were talking earlier about it's like layer inside a layer. Talking earlier about this police sketch on my site and how there was also a sketch of the witnesses or the suspect's tattoo. The tattoo, which looked like an eye turned sideways, and then Sarah pointed out that it did in fact look like the female private area. Mm-hmm. And I said it looks like a phallic region, except it's not a phallus. And we're now speaking clinically because we are looking for journalistic terms.
Yes.
With which to convey news to people during the noon news hour.
Which needs to be done.
Which needs to be done because, again, one needs to find a way to convey to the people knowledge about this. This is a criminal matter. We're trying to locate a suspect in a criminal case, and it is necessary to be able to convey this identifying characteristic.
What's the word?
What is the word?
I'm thinking vulvic.
Isn't that from Star Trek?
It sounds like a Slavic country.
All right, never mind. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
that. One more thing.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm glad. Something to cheer you up. We should all be happy that Kevin Costner found something to do besides make stupid movies.
That is true. All right, thank you, Chuck.
Have a good one.
Well, that'll keep him from behind the camera for a while.
He's only half, you know, because Jane Wyatt was... Here's, hi, who's this?
It's Dave, Rick.
Hi, Dave. How can I help you?
Angelina Jolie is a native Los Angelino.
So that's a fake accent she's got there.
She's kind of a trip. I mean, other than her dad being a freaking mental case, her mom was an actress, and she studied with Strasberg from the age of, like, 12 or 13. So she's kind of been involved for way too long.
So she's nutty from way back.
And to make it your life better, she's a cutter, dude.
Really? Oh, she looks like a cutter. I could see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of MySpace, you know, that's the thing about the other thing about MySpace is like 40% of the girls on MySpace, they're just like one bad day away from carving a boy's name into their stomach with a knife.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you. Bye now. All right. There needs to be a song about girls who cut. I want a girl who cuts.
Okay.
Let's break. We're going to come back with Byron Beck from the Millennium Week.
Maybe he will save us.
No. We're beyond saving. We're going to talk about serious political issues. And stuff. Uh-huh. We'll also take this geek quiz. Likas will be here. 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. In case you were unclear about it, it's all comedy radio. Johnson 970. Here's the regular busy show. Back out of the... Okay, wait a minute.
I love
him. That wasn't called for. That was,
That was
beyond the pale, as they say.
He was just being honest.
Well, what can you do? Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970, transitioning off of dead teenagers now. All right. If you want to email with your comments, clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Do I want to read any of these emails? No. 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 Oh, see, why do people write things like this? No. 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 And 40 Triple J Brosses. No. Okay, we're done. That was easy. It's 503-733-2970. All right, so here's the thing. As you know, the Rick Emerson Show is such that people basically just go for me to get to Sarah. I really am just the steak knives on this program. And so Sarah Dillon, who, you know, is the nucleus, the nerve center, the linchpin, who is at the helm, the command center, the guiding force, of this very fine radio program, you're going to be, before we actually do the introductions, so you, because they didn't even call me, they just called you directly, right? It was like, would you like to do Candidates Gone Wild? Right, isn't that?
They did.
All right.
And felt very special.
So this is Candidates Gone Wild, and we'll get the proper introductions here in a minute. It's just a thing that the Willamette Week does in cooperation with, see if I can do it from memory, the Oregon Bus Project, and...
other people.
Portland City
Club. Curse my puny
Portland
human
City
brain.
Club. You got it.
Portland City Club.
Portland City Club. That's exactly what I was going to say. Let's. Isn't the Portland City Club some place where, like, the Masters of the Universe types get together and they smoke cigars and they talk about, like...
Sometimes they smoke more than that.
Back when women used to know their place. Isn't that one of those guys?
Yeah, and a cigar is a cigar.
Where they all look like John Jacob Astor?
Yes.
All right. Let's welcome another Rick Emerson show, Byron Beck from the Willamette Week.
Yes,
and Jake Oakenberg, who you ran for mayor when you were 19.
Absolutely.
See, now you all in the radio audience think that I know that because my mind is a steel trap. In actuality, I was a complete blank slate when he walked in. He filled me in on that. I am now passing it along to you as though it came out of my own head.
But now he's in a band, which seems appropriate, don't you think?
Completely. You are in a band called, what is it, The Retrofits?
Exactly.
All right, so...
And we'll be playing some of their music in a little bit.
Will we?
Sure.
Does it contain lots of profanities? Because that's the best kind to play in the radio station.
Profanity-ridden.
All right.
It's kind of like Tool. Da-dum, da-dum.
So let's talk about, first of all, do you believe that Sarah looks like Doris Day in some sort of a 1960s film that would take place on the French Riviera?
In the sweater.
In the sweater. Not facially, or anything, but I mean in the sweater.
Not Doris Day. She's got this kind of Myrna Loy thing, Rita Hayworth thing for me.
I could see the Rita Hayworth. I could really see that.
Yeah, but it's the booty that really gives it away.
Oh,
see,
I am
you
not
can say that though.
This.
See, a gay man can say that. I can't. I'm just creepy.
Yeah,
I said that it's a restraining order.
Yeah, you're just kind of lurching.
The last Candidate's Gone Wild, I said something about someone's boobies, and I got so much C-R-A-P. Can you say crap on the radio?
Is this
okay,
what I'm going to have to look
forward
to? Here's
the thing. If you spell it and then ask if you can say what you just spelled, it's sort of that ship has then sailed.
Okay.
It's
you
a fait accompli at that point.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Daria.
Yes, we are talking about Daria.
See, I'm pretty sure. I think everybody in the audience kind of put two and two together. Or one and one together. Zing.
No, Sarah's got a great ass.
Well, what am I going
to
say? You're looking at me. There's no right answer.
I'm not used to being spoken to in such a manner.
Oh, please. Have you read? Let's read.
Walk down the street with her once, and you'll see her being spoken to in that manner.
All right.
A lot.
Let me read a sample. Let me read a sample email here for Sarah, who claims that she has never spoken to that way. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever sandwich you feed the intern has to have magic shell fudge topping, blah, 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 blah. By the way, Sarah is S-hot in those party pics, BTW. Cheers, Lord Gordave. How about this one? This right here, subject line, Sarah's many looks. Simply this, F-I-N-E fine, says Matt. So there you go. So
somebody, the guy from Super Atomic TV yesterday we had on, said that that side of the stage I was next to the cage was Sarah's butt side of the stage. I didn't realize that there were so many people behind us. Let's move forward from the butt.
Moving, transitioning off of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you guys called Sarah and you said you're going to do this Candidates Gone Wild thing, which is Monday at the Roseland.
Yeah.
Get the pimping done 8 earlier.
8
p.m. And this is, I was saying earlier that I am kind of a political junkie, except post this last presidential election, I just got so burned out that unless it involves Hillary Clinton running for president, I just haven't followed it at all. Or someone having to return $145,000. I follow those stories.
Yeah.
This is where you get like the city council candidates and county seat people and you get them all liquored up and you try to get them to take off their pants or to say, do something embarrassing.
The thing that's so odd about Candidates Gone Wild is you would think it would be the one time where you would learn nothing because it's kind of just this crazy fest of drunkenness and weird questions. But it's actually, in my opinion, the most revealing debate of the entire election season because they're so out of their comfort zone.
And so now, it seems like a thing that people wouldn't, the candidates wouldn't want to do. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? You think they'd want to do it, but this is all they want to do. They call up and say, I'm going to do a song. This is the song I'm thinking about. And what should I wear? Should I wear a dress? Should I wear a pet? You know, they're like that.
Is it true that you had a guy juggle one time, right? One of the candidates juggled?
We had two candidates juggle, and it actually didn't go over very well because they both did the same talent. It was kind of boring.
Oh, so now what? First of all, so people want to buy this. They want to go to tickets. They want to buy tickets and go to this. How do they do it? Where do they go?
CanditsGoneWild.com. You can find out where to buy them and at Willamette Week at the Bus Project in City Club of Portland. They're only $3.
All right. And so let's talk about our good friend Emily.
Emily
Boyles.
We had to disinvite. Tell us about it, Jay.
So this is, she is running for, was it, she was running for city council, or still is, I guess, but she got horked for like $150,000 that she, it's not that she stole it as such, but there was some unpleasantness. What happened there?
This is a Candidates Gone Wild first. We have never actually had to disinvite someone from this crazy event, but basically the city auditor is asking her to pay it all back, potentially with fines. The state attorney general is investigating her. The law's pretty specific. You can't spend money
on things that other campaigns wouldn't. And she's paying her daughter.
She paid her daughter like $14,000 or something to like to be on MySpace effectively.
Stamps.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And she paid her own rent at her own place with the money, it seems.
I mean, she's got a press photo that makes her look like Lulu Hogg.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
no one. That's.
But she's big in the Slavic community, and they like those big girls.
Okay.
Wow.
You can tell that she doesn't even have ankles, too. The legs just go right to the floor.
Let's see her.
You know who she looks like? If Natalie from Facts of Life really let herself go. You know what I'm talking about? You know what? Mindy Cohn in the house?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I love my Mindy Cohn.
Oh, so do I, actually. So here's the best, and by best I mean most embarrassing part of this, is that, so she, there's all this impropriety with $150,000, and so the city starts coming after her with a meat cleaver. You guys say thanks, but no thanks.
Well, there was a debate about whether or not you actually put someone up on the stage to actually go after in front of 1,000 people.
Right.
And there is some fun to that.
I'm all for that.
Exactly.
And that was during our secret Candidates Gone Wild meetings.
Yes, yeah.
Very secret.
Very secret. But the fact of the matter is we actually, and we have this on CandidatesGoneWild.com, we took her in and we interviewed her. And we were asking her a whole bunch of questions about this. And she was just evading and giving one conflicting answer after another.
She looks weaselly.
It was after a point. It's just like, if she can't even give us a straight answer 2 weeks before the event, we don't want her.
And she uses a stupid font on her website, too. She uses, and this is called the Big Time font.
That was actually the thing that pushed us over the edge.
Stupid font.
Fat font.
Well, you have a real thing with fonts today.
I'm
not a fan of this font.
I never used to know about fonts. That was one of those knowledge that I never had until I started hanging out with Joni. And Joni's got this, my friend Joni, who's a filmmaker. She's got this whole, she's a graphic designer. She's got this whole font fetish. Here's a side note. This is completely true. There is a guy. And I've only ever met two of these guys in my life. He makes his living creating fonts. My friend Scott used to do it in Utah. And then this guy, his name is Chank Diesel. And he creates fonts. And that's what he does. And she's got a crush on him because of his font design. And so because of her, I know these things. So they've actually switched our computer system here. It all defaults to Comic Sans, which I think we all agree is like the worst of all fonts.
Yeah.
That's a thing. You shouldn't have that anywhere. Anyway, so, but listen.
Imagine the things you could learn if you hung out with me.
I don't know what that means.
Come on, Rick.
So, moving forward.
Dark side.
I see the Kennewick love here. Maybe you guys should hug.
We're both Kennewick men.
Just hug it out.
Do you get the Kennewick man jokes, too? Because Byron back here, you write, and just for people, you write the Queer Window column.
Yeah.
For the Willamette, and for the Willamette Week, and you are from Kennewick.
I am.
And so do you get the obligatory Kennewick jokes?
Yes.
Kennewick man jokes from people?
Yes.
So
all the Hanford jokes and...
You glow in the dark?
Is it nuclear or nuclear?
Yeah. So I went to... And then we'll kind of get off of this Emily the Boyles issue. And she spells her name in a weird way, too. So there's like more reasons for me not to like her.
You really have some mommy issues, don't you?
Wow.
It's entirely possible. Only my therapist knows for sure.
I agree with Sarah. You guys should hug.
No, we're not doing it.
I think I'm sensing a little animosity. Finally, just lean over.
No, let's do a Sarah sandwich.
That's second.
I'm just going to say, you had to disinvite her from the Canada Scun Wild. But this is, so I went to her website this morning to see if there was anything embarrassing, and it's like right there. It was pay dirt on the front page. Listen to this. Here's how you can tell that someone is no longer really in the running and they're going to lose. The big headline... Emily Boyles is still in the race! 4 exclamation marks. Anytime you have to remind people that you are, in fact, still alive and still on the ballot, save your money. And just save your money and put it into scratch-offs or something, because it's all going to end badly for you.
She could pay you $14,000 for that advice.
Seriously. All right. Are we behind or are we ahead? I can't tell.
I think we're ahead.
All right. Do we have to do a city desk?
Yes.
Okay, so in a minute, here's what we'll do.
All right, let's wait. Should we give the Tim Riley
call? I'm waiting for the delay to catch up here. So in a minute, we will do the City Desk with Tim Riley. Then we'll break. We'll come back. We will talk more with Jake Oakenberg. And did I get it right?
You got it.
Yeah, look at that. And Byron Beck from The Willamette Week as we talk about Candidates Gone Wild, at which Sarah Dillon, are you a co-host? Or are you the...
Yes, I'm Byron Beck's co-host.
So it's
we're
you...
MCs.
Okay.
And so what are you going
to
be doing?
All I know is we get to drink backstage.
So if people go there and guys turn out to watch this, what are they going to see on
Monday?
We're
both wearing short dresses. Mine is red.
We actually had to figure out a dance routine.
You should totally do like the reverse. Like you should do like a Marlene Dietrich thing. You know, you should totally do the tuxedo and the whatever.
I'm looking forward to this. Our band is actually playing that night, and I'm just going to sit backstage and watch Byron and Sarah the whole night.
You're going to watch Sarah's butt. I know what you're going to watch.
What is with you and the butt?
Did you have a nice butt?
See, yeah, I have to just recuse myself from all of these comments because I know that we have a warm, brotherly, sisterly-like relationship, but there's still certain comments in which there is no good response for
me. There's no butt love?
No, I in an overarching sense, I'm saying that it's not really a thing I can weigh on one way or the other. And Tim is just never going to show up.
Tim Riley.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the City Desk. We'll talk more about this. And we're just going to fold you guys into one of our predetermined segments, which is this geek thing we have to talk about. So stay there. We're here. We'll be back with Tim Riley at the City Desk. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland on Johnson 970. Here's the Ramones. Don't go anywhere.
When I see the price of you, babe, I don't want to grow up. I don't ever want to be that way, and I don't want to grow up.
It's been the strangest program today. It started off with, I don't even remember what happened in the noon hour. Wasn't there something weird in the noon hour, too? There was something bizarre in the noon hour. And
no,
then we
not really.
Veered off into the dead teenage MySpace pages. And then we came back and it turned into something else. And
there were lots of bad MySpace stories today.
Byron wanting to hug me. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here with Byron Beck from the Willamette Week and Jake Oakenberg, and they're talking about Candidates Gone Wild, which Sarah Dillon is going to be the co-host of coming this Monday at the Roseland. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. I got to read this email. We'll go to the City Desk, and then we'll go back. We may not even have time to do the geek thing now, and I got this. It's Whitney Houston, so there's just no time. Let's see. This is from Kristen. Oh, this is from the parents going through your crap. I have to read this because tomorrow will be dated. Rick, in high school, cue awkward sexual euphemism in 3, 2. In high school, a few days after I gave my flower to my then boyfriend. Oh, God. Some cat.
Why?
Listen, no, it gets worse. Inexplicably. Some cats were rummaging through the garbage outside. And it was strewn all over the backyard. As my mom was cleaning it up, she found the used condoms. Put them in a plastic bag and kept them in her room for days. Until she cornered me in her room, threw the bag filled with used condoms at me, and lectured me for hours about how I will never wear a white dress on my wedding day. It was disgusting. The worst part is, as she was yelling at me, she would repeatedly point to a bag filled with used condoms that had been sitting in her room for 3 days. Signed, Kristen.
A bag of used condoms?
Well,
Is that Kristen from accounting?
No, it is not. Okay. Well, apparently it was numerous condoms. I don't know if it was like a full 17 boys do have. They're full of vim and vigor. You know. Ladies, let's go to your person. Yeah, it's sitting. Tim Riley.
Yeah, take a little break from this. Only for a minute.
This is the kind of program where the assembled staff and management of CBS Radio sit around and congratulate themselves for having the foresight to hire us.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Okay, we're still waiting for the verdict on that dentist from Battleground who stabbed his wife more than 70 times with a pair of scissors. Well, here's the problem. The court's computerized video recorder didn't record any audio for the last 2 days of the trial. Therefore, the conviction could be appealed, and they might have to start all over again.
Well, it's more news for us.
And Phil Spector, his trial doesn't begin until next January 16th. That's the latest delay. It's already been rescheduled a number of times after originally being set on September 16th of last year due to legal wrangling for both the prosecution and the defense. Apparently, he killed some woman about 10 or 12 years.
Wasn't that like in 1990 that he shot?
I think so, yes.
Wasn't she the B-movie Scream Queen, whoever she was?
She was a waitress at
the Hard Rock Cafe or something. Come on over so I can murder you.
Somebody who gave him change for the video poker machine. Here's, by the way, we were talking about Phil Spector. Here's exactly what Phil Spector looks like now. We were trying to place it. Because he looked all, like he had that weird, like in the 60s, he had the strange sort of, I don't know, he had kind of this weird, like a John Turturro look thing going on. But now, if you remember those Charleston Chew commercials from like 1986, he looks like the guy at the end with the weird, like the big Jufro at the end, you know what I'm talking about, where it's all sticking straight out.
From what year?
You know, like the mid-80s? That's the sort of Gen X pop cultural reference that makes this show a must-listen for men between 25 and 54 in the Portland metro area.
I'm within that, but I don't remember that.
All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
That were Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch. Don't let the sun go down on me. For Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, first, a piece of breaking Jackson news. We found out that Neverland Ranch reopened this afternoon after he paid the llama attendants or whoever else works there their back wages, so they're back on the job, so it's open.
Back on the job doing what? Doing what exactly? Yeah. Except hosing off the manacle room in the basement.
I guess so. That's whatever they do there, they're feeding animals and keeping the rides all greased up.
Somebody's got to be on bone disposal duty there.
Meanwhile,
you've misbehaved. You clean the lime pit.
It says here, Michael Jackson is eyeing a collaboration with a superstar rapper 50 Cent. They first heard of a potential pairing that would likely appear on a mixtape spearheaded by DJ Woo Kid. Not sure who this fellow is, but he tells Billboard.com he's heading in 2 weeks to Jackson's new adopted home in Bahrain to take possession of tracks Jackson has been working on in his home studio. He doesn't even have a home there. He's at somebody else's home. I guess the prince built him a studio.
He's having to sublet somewhere.
Prince's spokesperson stresses that at Deadline, the artist has made no comment to appear on the mixtape or in Jackson's home studio.
When you said the artist, this is the actual prince.
No.
I'm
talking about 50
Prince
Cent.
Where?
Michael Jackson is living at some prince's house, not the prince, or the person known as Prince.
Yeah, some kind of
thing. Oh, like an actual prince. Oh, okay.
The guy wearing a prince's suit, the big white sheet and a hat. As they dress in Bahrain.
Okay. I think those are Klansmen. Yeah, I was going to say, those are...
That's in this country. As previously reported, 2C's Records is a joint venture. This is what he's recording on. 2C's record is a joint venture between Jackson and Abdullah Hamad Al Kaifa. A UK record executive, Guy Holmes, is... I have no idea what this is.
We don't even...
A bunch of foreigners, if he would come back to America, I know what they were talking about. I don't know. He's in with some foreigners and some Brits and some...
Just a bunch of consonants and accent marks strung together on the page.
So who knows? He's over there doing something we don't want to talk about.
Well, so there you go.
Probably he doesn't want to talk about it.
There's your Jackson Watch. Don't let the sun go down on me. But losing everything is like the sun going down on me. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, left-leaning new media has hit turbulence in the marketplace, according to newly released stats. They're talking about, Air America. Are we familiar with that? Air America? Did they have that here?
No, I think they had a college station that they were broadcasting from somewhere.
According to their winter book in New York City, they lost more than a third of their audience in the past year.
Oh.
Among all listeners 12 plus, it was a race to the bottom of the barrel for Air America and WLIB in New York.
I'm stunned.
Well, it's way down the end of the dial where the Spanish stations are in like 1700.
Would you like to hear some humorless, embittered talk programming that has no entertainment value at all? No. Hello? Hello, please. Hello?
Have you ever listened to Randy Rhodes? That's a girl who ends her name with an I.
Randy Rhodes. Oh, yeah. She's the,
She's the PM Drive chick.
Mine's like, listening to that show is just like taking a sander to the inside of your ears.
Well,
you know,
like
what I mean?
Fran Drescher.
It's totally what it is. That's like where shrillness somehow passes is like a comedy. Yeah.
Well, she lost 27,900 listeners every quarter hour.
Oh.
Because all the people have to use the restroom.
So does Janine Garofalo call the show there?
Oh, God. Who knows? I don't even think anybody works at that station anymore. I think that somebody...
Well, that's a smelly lady with a scraggly hair that sounded like... Yeah. Janine Garofalo.
At a certain point that Janine Garofalo and Anne Heche sort of became the same person too. Crazy lady with weird thatchy blonde hair.
Yeah, she used to be so hot too.
Kind of a lot of, she used to be funny. Remember that like 30 years ago when Janine Garofalo would say something and you would giggle? Now she says something, you're like, how did that get on the radio? You know, and you just hit the button. So, God, and I was listening, Jesus, I was listening to that Tom Hartman show this morning for some reason. Like, I guess their whole thing is like, they wanted to be live and local. Except when Air America. No, it's, see, here's the thing. They're trying to foist it off into people as being local, but it's a guy from Vermont. And so every time they would try to talk about something with the local election, he would just kind of do the, like you could hear him doing the uninformed slow Homer blink. You know what I mean? Kind of like a cow trying to read a dictionary. Just a whole lot of non-processing. And then he would try to turn it back to, well, when I lived in Vermont, it was really like having an ice pick pounded into your teeth late at night. That's exactly what that show was.
Well, that's why I choose, Good Morning Northeast, or whatever program that Coin
Six has. The new spirit of Coin News 6.
Yeah, that's my favorite new show in the morning, so I wouldn't be listening to this fellow on whatever station this is.
No, I would say that it's like having your junk slammed in a drawer, except there's some excitement to that, and there's just nothing there. It's just a whole lot of Z's, and not the good kind.
Well, all right.
All right, there you go. There's Tim Riley at the City Desk, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so 503-733-2970. We're here with Byron Beck from the Willamette Week.
You're
and
a genius.
You have to buy me flowers first, Byron. It takes more than that, my friend.
Just a little kiss.
Okay, just a quick one.
Okay.
Byron is moving towards Ricky.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful, Kara. That was for you.
There you go. It's that'll be played back in a promo endlessly. When I'm running,
I think you're blushing.
When I'm running for, I feel all askance in the Twitter now.
You know that he's a big fan of yours, right, Byron?
I'm a big fan of his.
Oh.
Of his what?
It's just a regular love.
His junk.
Let's all make out.
Ah, that sounds good. Sarah, you take your shirt off, okay?
See, what is
this what I'm going to have to do on Monday? I'm pulling out.
He's not even drunk yet, as far as I know.
I know.
Okay, Sarah, okay, let's talk about this. I am not going to talk about any party part unless you encourage me
party
to talk about...
Party part?
Body part. Oh. Unless you encourage me to talk about your body parts. So if you come in an outfit that encourages your body parts...
Well, I did pick out my outfit today.
Okay.
Oh. It's kind of tight on the top, but it's like a modest skirt, like past my knees.
See, this is... I think what it is for now on, I'm just going to tell people that I'm a gay man because apparently it gives you carte blanche. With impunity, you can just comment on women's bodies.
Well, we're getting to the important part of Canada's Gone Wild. What we're wearing.
We actually sat down and had a discussion yesterday about what we were going to wear. You know, screw actually rehearsing. We're just talking about what clothes we're going
to
wear. Yeah.
I know this is hard to believe. Byron Beck, the author of the Queer Window column on the Willamette Week.
So in Canada's Gone Wild, which is this really cool thing. It's going to be really crazy. It's going to be really wild. And we're going to look really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prerequisite.
But, you know, we're also giving away tickets today. Talk about it, Jake.
No, we just have tickets. I mean, the thing is, it's going to be...
At what point did I lose control?
It's going to be sold out probably by the end of the day. I mean, we checked in, there was about 100 going each hour at Willamette Week the last time we checked.
With Diane Lynn's help, we'll be sure to be sold.
That's... Okay, now, see, look at the masterful segue there. So we were already talking about, what's her name, Emily Boyles. And what an unfortunate last name that is, by the way. Now let's talk about Diane Lynn, because she...
Like Emily Genital Warts.
Because... That was Byron Beck who said that.
Thank you.
Respected journalist.
New nickname.
Byron Beck.
I don't know about respect.
She might end up not Emily Boyles, Diane Lynn, she might actually end up going to the Who's Cow, right? They might put her away.
What?
Basically, it seems like every person we add to the list at Canada's Gone Wild, then something comes out about them. And now today, it's reported one of her staffers saying she was messing with the calendar.
Messing with the calendar.
Because, as I understand it, here's what happened. My understanding of this, and again, I just got like the tiniest brain, is that...
It all went south.
Is that the paper said... But show us your calendar and show us like what you're doing with the tax dollars.
Yes,
like what
the Oregonian did.
Yeah, and like show us like what your day book looks like for the next week. And she looked and it was just a whole lot of like massage, nap, tea, light lunch.
Nails.
Yeah, watch Sex in the City, take a snooze. So she had this like, quick, make me look busy. And so her assistant or whatever just allegedly just wrote a bunch of crap in.
Well, her assistant went, huh?
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't think I can do that. And the other assistant said,
just go ahead, just make anything up. Just doesn't matter, just put it in.
Pad a little bit.
Yeah.
Think about it like a sanitary pad. Just a little bit of
the calendar.
She's adding wings to the sanitary pad that is her calendar.
Yeah.
So I didn't...
So what has she been doing?
I didn't even know that it was illegal. Well, apparently she's been doing a whole lot of nothing. But according to the... But then when she gave the filled-in, the altered calendar, it was like, meet with George Bush, solve world hunger, cure cancer, right?
According
best-selling novel.
To the Willamette Week today, it all came out in the Willamette Week today. If you want to go WWeek.com, read the paper, which we come out with our endorsement issue next week. This is where you find out the information, and it's pretty, 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 pretty bad.
So will she be there?
She will be there, and she might even be singing for her talent.
She's actually going to show up.
Oh, she'll show up.
Do you guys give these the Candace Hart questions? I mean, it's because I haven't gone to it. So, I mean, when this Candace Gone Wild, is it just, I mean, they're going to juggle and whatever, but it's not like a Larry King softball, like, what's your favorite color?
It is both. Is it? We ask them a crazy question that they have no clue, like, how much is a six-pack? And they say $25, right? And they're like, I haven't been to a store in years. And then we ask them the tough questions. There's no free passes. We ask them harder questions that happen than most of the debates.
Have you ever made anybody cry?
Only twice.
Really?
Ruined careers. If you look at Jim Frasconi, he sweated a lot. I mean, tell me about what.
Well, he showed up in a gorilla costume. That was his first and last mistake.
Was he trying to be kooky? Was it a whole, I'm going to beat you to the punch and I'll be wacky?
Right. Everyone knew he was the guy who everyone thought was too straight, not down with the kids. And then, you know, he showed up in this 100-degree suit and starts sweating it out. Halfway through, he has to take it off. It was a disaster.
It was sad, sad, sad. Yeah. We all kind of, like, cried in the back for him.
It may have actually worked in the slight way that actually everyone did feel sorry for him. I mean, he was heating up.
But his career was ruined that day at Candidates Gone Wild. And whose career will we ruin this year? Will it be mine? Will it be Sarah's? Will it be one of the candidates?
You're a natural pimper.
He's on fire.
You really are.
I'm kind of excited because they're pitting people against each other. So they're actual people that are running against each other for office.
And so there's the genius thing at this event, the Candidates Gone Wild, is that it appeals to... So if you want to see something ridiculous, and if you're into booze... and I know you are.
You can drink in your seats.
You can drink in your seats. And if you're Sarah Dillon, you can drink like from the minute you walk in the building, right? And
I'm going to be wobbling around in my platforms.
It's going to, now are you now, what is, you're not going to question people, are you? Is your
no,
thing
no,
used to look
doing,
pretty or?
Yeah, we're doing, yeah, it's, that's Byron's job to look pretty.
It's just,
yeah, right.
Byron and Sarah, the eye candies.
Yeah, we'll just be doing introductions and whatnot.
All right. And so, if people are like into the actual political hardball, they can come and,
you get it both. And there's going to be audience participation. We've got some tricks up our sleeve where the candidates aren't even going to get away without the audience weighing in. So it's going to be nice.
And there'll be a film where you see Diane Lynn's bedroom.
Yeah, we got films. We have entered their houses.
Okay. Hey, just so you, I'm asking this because I never know how these things work. It's probably too late, but we're trying to get this initiative put on the ballot. I'm trying to get the name of Portland changed to Portland effing Oregon. That's going to be a nice thing. When do I have to... Is it too late for that for this year?
For the May ballot, which is in less than a month, it's too late.
Well, that's regrettable.
October looks good.
Really? So I could do it for October?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have the signatures by July.
That's a TSL builder right there. All right. How long do we have here?
A minute.
Okay. So Byron Beck from the Willamette Week and Jake Oakenberg, Candidates Gone Wild.
We're basically just trying to look pretty up there.
Okay, so I'm going to cue the pimping, and the PimpBot 5000 will be unleashed now. 1, 2, 3, whore.
Yes. What does that mean? No, it's 7 p.m. The doors open. 8 p.m. The show is at Roseland Theater. You can go to CandidatesGoneWild.com to find out where to get tickets.
Sarah will be there. That's all you have to know, really. We'll be giving away tickets. We have two pairs of tickets to give away at this program. I don't mean to go ghetto here, but they're going to go fast because we got our pimps and a hoes who, you know, we fill the audience with.
Right. And my band, the Retrofits.com, will be doing shtick as each candidate enters. You can find out who gets the Imperial March.
See, you know what we respect here is just shamelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolute pandering. Just let it all hang out. Complete unvarnished self-interest and relentless self-promotion. And so you guys are fit right. You guys fit right in on this program.
And if you're under 21, you still can come.
So
yes.
There you go. All right. So, and just as a personal note, and of course, you know, I have to give it to anybody who's a fellow Kennewick resident, especially because, dude, as much as it sucked growing up in Kennewick, I can't even imagine growing up gay in Kennewick. It's like every day you must be just going, go to school, kill myself, go to school, kill myself, go to school. I mean, I can't. It's the worst place on earth just for anybody. So,
yeah, let's just say the bag of condoms my mom found were a little bit different.
Wow. On that note, kids, We're going to make way for Tom Likas, Phil Henry coming up at 7. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be here. We will get to this geek thing tomorrow. We've got a top five by popular demand that we'll be doing. More of Tim Riley, et cetera, so on and so forth. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon for Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS Radio family. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Gary Baumgarten and Lisa Goddard. As always, we will see you tomorrow, 21 hours from now. Don't let the bastards grind you down and whatnot. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.